The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
And that's the name of the sushi restaurant. That's how you get there. Oh, good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander back in the fold. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Let me thank Joe Serrallo for being here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Were you able to make direct eye contact with him at this distance?
He's too beautiful. It just hurts to look at him. He's like the sun, just to look at him directly.
He might melt.
Exactly, yeah.
How was he able to host this show while also playing at in Del Rey at the same time? Would he fly back and forth in big time tennis?
Is that where Taylor was at?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. Huh. DBO pulling in big names these days.
Explains why he lost to Davidovich Fokina in the semis.
Wow, he owns Del Rey Beach, right?
No, that is a big get for Del Rey. You're right. I'm back, and we got a great show. Thanks to Kelly Bidlin's epic producing here. Todd Wishnev at the end of the show, baby. I might be responsible for that one. Can't wait to talk to Toddy. Megapod co-host, of course, the great Todd Wishnev, and the co-star of the Showtime docuseries Action. Todd will be here to talk college basketball. He is on quite the heater in-game betting in college basketball, but I just want to get a heat check from him as we are now, what is it, 3 weeks? 3 weeks before Selection Sunday? His thoughts on who can actually win this whole thing in college basketball, who can win the title, sleepers, teams that really have no shot, in his opinion, though others think they do. Wes Reynolds coming off a golf runner-up performance. God, does he stink at golf betting.
Terrible. He's awful.
You mean he didn't have Brian
Get
Campbell?
It home, Wes.
Wes Reynolds will join us to talk golf and college basketball as well. We'll talk NBA awards. Carl Sack will join us to talk National Basketball Association. And I will start the show with a couple things. I will do a Major League Baseball season win total coming up. The same segment that gave you the Texas Rangers over 2 years ago when they ended up soaring over and winning the World Series. And then last year, the Padres soaring over. I have my favorite season win total of the year coming up, and it is an under.
Which you have not discussed before, right?
I have not discussed it before.
Okay.
No.
That was a Kelly question when he sent it over.
That's always.
I don't think we've brought this up before,
It's always a post-vacation thing. By the way, that sushi thing I do is also now become a tradition unlike any other when I get back from vacation. Mid-sentence.
That's right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, you guys turn off the mic. I was talking about it. All right. Can we start, though? We're back from vacation here. I want to start with the college basketball formula. Are we allowed to do that?
Let's do it.
All right. So this is a tried and true tradition here on a numbers game. Everybody does college basketball formulas now. Have you noticed this, Kelly?
Yes, I have.
Have you noticed that we were the first to do it? I think you noticed that as well. I'm going to say this. This, for those who are listening for the first time on SiriusXM 158, because I want to always go back to sort of, if you're listening for the first time, we've been doing this throughout the course of a numbers game. Before that, the Beating the Book podcast. Before that, the Betting Dork podcast. Essentially, what the point of this is to sort of guide you towards making proper futures bets to win it all in college basketball and to steer you away from the notion that this March Madness of ours, this great American tradition, ends up being this upset-filled thing. It is, but just for the first weekend. That's the thing. Right. Our image of Jim Valvano going around and hugging all his players in 1983 is not actually a thing. It was back then. It isn't now because the chalk ends up rising. It goes chalk McChalkerson when it gets to the Sweet 16 and beyond. And so when trying to identify a potential champion, here are the sort of parameters. Here are the criteria that has been met for decades now. We have six categories. Let me just review them again for the first time for some. Last 34 champs, Kelly, the last 34 have had more assists than turnovers. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, that helps. It helps to win basketball games.
It does help. 32 of the last 34 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience. Oh, look, there's two exceptions. 32 of the last 34 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience prior to the year they won this. I know a lot of people are like, wait a minute, he's in the Sweet 16 now on the way there. Yeah, it doesn't count this year. I'm saying in prior years. The exceptions, 2014 UConn Huskies Kevin Ollie did not have any Sweet 16 experience before the Huskies won that year. And a couple years ago, not a couple years ago, but last year, well, no, yeah, that is 2 years ago, 2023 when Dan Hurley one with UConn. He did not have any prior Sweet 16 coaching experience. So those are the two exceptions to that. 28 of the last 29 champs went in the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. I know we don't really use RPI anymore, but that's how far back this goes. Hold that thought. We'll get to a few teams this year that excludes from being part of this formula or qualifying anyway. Last 29 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. That comes into play sometimes, particularly for teams out west. 21 of the last 22 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception, Kelly, the 2014 UConn Huskies. The Shabazz Napier-led 2014 UConn Huskies, who were the exception to so many rules.
Yeah.
And then this last one, I think this is actually 20. Yeah, this is also 21 of the last 22 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only exception here, the 2021 Baylor Bears. The Baylor Bears were an exception to this one as well. By the way, the three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI, that exception was the UConn Huskies from 2014 as well. So the UConn Huskies of 2014 were the exceptions in three of these. And then the only other ones were Hurley as hadn't been a Sweet 16 coach in 2023 and Baylor in adjusted defensive efficiency 22nd back in 2021. So those are the only other exceptions to this. So it then begs the question, who right now, 3 weeks before Selection Sunday, who qualifies? As we post up the odds, by the way, right now, Auburn is your short shot just by a tick shorter than Duke. Auburn's plus 360, Duke plus 370, and then it's Houston 8-1, Florida plus 850. Bama leads the double-digit parade at 12-1. Who qualifies? Auburn qualifies. Three teams qualify at this very moment. Auburn qualifies. Bruce Pearl, no surprise to those who have been following college basketball intently this year, that Auburn is the number one qualifier, as is Duke. No surprise there. Auburn, by the way, first in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom, Duke second, and also fourth in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. They are the two easy-peasy ones that get through easily. And yes, John Shire did coach to the Elite Eight last year, in case you were wondering about that. Bruce Pearl, by the way, Sweet 16 in Milwaukee, Sweet 16 twice, and an Elite Eight at Tennessee, a Final Four at Auburn. Remember that team that somehow lost to Virginia? I think that was the Kyle Guy game, where Kyle Guy got fouled to beat Auburn and hit three free throws. And the only other team that qualifies beyond Auburn and Duke right now at this moment, and this is subject to change, is Houston. The Houston Cougars right now, seventh in adjusted offensive efficiency, third in adjusted defensive efficiency. Kelvin Sampson, of course, has been to just a myriad of Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, Final Four along the way as well, both at Oklahoma and at Houston. Houston's bugaboo up until this weekend was that they had not beaten three teams, or had three wins, I should say more accurately, in the top 10% of RPI, but they beat Iowa State, who is without two of their top two scorers. So Houston now qualifies for the top of this as well. So it's Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Now you ask yourself, okay, that's it? Those are the only three teams that can win this tournament according to this formula? Well, at the very moment, yes. But as I said, subject to change for some teams. Iowa State barely misses. Iowa State right now 21st in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom, 9th adjusted D. So they are really the team that is closest really to being in there, along with, by the way, Arizona, who's 19th and 18th. They qualify in both the KenPom categories, adjusted offense and adjusted defense, but they've only beaten Texas Tech and Iowa State, top 10% of RPI. They still do play Iowa State again and Kansas, so they can play themselves in.
Wait, who is that?
That's Arizona.
Arizona,
so
okay.
Iowa State and Arizona are the two teams closest to joining Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Now, if you're asking yourself, what about Florida?
I'm sitting over here looking through the other teams. Yeah.
Florida, the issue with Florida, and they can't get over, like unlike Iowa State and Arizona, which can actually play themselves into this, Todd Golden has never coached in a Sweet 16 before. So if you believe in that, and again, there's been two exceptions, right? Kevin Ollie in 2014, Danny Hurley in 2023. Todd Golden has never coached in a Sweet 16 before. So that's why Florida doesn't qualify. They're 4th and 7th, adjusted offense, adjusted defense. Maryland, 17th and 20th at KenPom, offense, defense, respectively. Kevin Willard has never coached in a Sweet 16. So that's why they don't qualify and can't. And there's a host of other teams. Texas Tech, Grant McCaslin has never coached in a Sweet 16. Michigan State is very close, by the way. And Michigan State, of course, with Tom Izzo.
Has he been there?
A couple times. Izzo, by the way, a champ, a runner-up, six Final Fours, two Elite Eights, five Sweet 16s.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
So you got Bama. I'm just over on Ken Pop. So Bama outside because of the defensive rating.
Well,
right?
Let me go through these systematically. Oh, okay. So Michigan State 23rd and 12th. So if Iowa State and Arizona are the closest to joining Auburn, Duke, and Houston, Michigan State's right behind them as well, right? 23rd and 12th. Bama, what you were saying is right.
Mm.
Bama, there's a couple teams here. Bama and Tennessee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bama's third adjusted offense, but they're 47th in adjusted D. So you can't even like get to Nate Oates and crew to get qualified for this. Same with Tennessee at this point, because Tennessee's 29th.
That's tight, though.
Closer.
29th in offense, first in defense.
First in D. Yeah. But the problem is, you can't put the ball in the basket, it's trouble. You can't win six games in a row in a tournament. Louisville, Pat Kelsey has never coached in a Sweet 16. Clemson is 16th and 26th. Michigan is 26th and 23rd with Dusty May, who of course famously got to the Final Four at FAU.
Yeah.
Great call by Will Hill. So it's Auburn, Duke, Houston, with Iowa State, Arizona, and Michigan State the closest on the outside looking in. We'll update this every Monday. By the way, shout out to NJNY on Twitter for doing his own thing on this as well, yep. Keeping himself updated and keeping the folks on Twitter updated on this. Coming back, Major League Baseball season win total next on A Numbers Game.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen, this is A Numbers Game. Todd Wishnev standing by. Oh, can't wait. We get tweets of beating the book. Joe C. 714, glad you're back. You were missed. Thank you very much, Joe. Matt F., Sports Better X. Kelly's a pro. Absolutely no concern on his face while John is howling, laughing, saying, you thought you booked John Fanta a couple weeks ago?
I didn't even tell that story right, because shout out to John Martin, who ended up staying on with us. Because once he said his name, I had realized what had happened, or what something that must have happened.
I'm telling you, this should be a recurring bit on the show.
He ended up staying on. He did a great college basketball segment. He went 5-0 that night. He gave out five bets and went 5-0.
Not supposed to be there.
Not supposed to be there.
Jason H11. Hello, Mr. Alexander. I'm Kelly's neighbor. Can you ask him to stop the weight loss? All the women beating down his door are keeping me up all night. Haven't had a good night's sleep in months. Help. Prime time, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Yo, hey man, what's all this welcome back gibberish? Were you off the air or something last week? And you ruptured your Achilles? Why have I not heard about this before? Do tell, or better yet, if Wishnev has any inside info on it. Yeah, he wanted the tennis balls, that's all he cared about. C. Spackler, I know what it felt like 2 days after Achilles surgery. You are one tough son of apparently a great father. Yeah man, no, Achilles, it was fine to do the show, I just couldn't breathe. But the leg was cool. I mean, it wasn't cool, but you know what I mean. Sean, by the way, the first time I did it, I did a Love Zone. 4 hours, freshly ruptured.
Oh, really?
It goes numb.
The OG Love Zone.
The OG
Love Zone. That's what threw me off at first.
Sean's Fox plays. Okay, why all the love for blocks and defensive player of the year? I think steals is a better category, as it actually guarantees you get the possession. If you take the leaders for steals and blocks, your defensive player of the year should be Daniels or SGA. I'm with you on SGA. Derby Day Day. I was sweating with Wes yesterday, but had to hedge Pot Geeter. All-time bad beat, but the show goes on. Hashtag 70-1. Wow, we had him 70-1. Chris Hartman. Gil, tell Fez to step aside. Matt Brown is the luck box champ of 2025. Two Sundays, two miracles. Daytona and Mexico Open. Yes, I'm bitter. Had Cindric leading with 1.5 miles left and Pot Geeter. Las Vegas 514. Yo, welcome back. RIP to the great songstress Roberta Flack. Oh, Roberta Flack died. Oh, no. What's your favorite Roberta Flack song?
I don't know.
You know him. Killing Me Softly. That's Roberta Flack.
Oh, really?
Flack. You probably know it as the Fugees, thinking they was their original. No, it's Roberta Flack.
I mean, I definitely know that version better, yeah.
Donnie Hathaway duets. Wow, from D.C., by the way, Roberta Flack. D-Gen Southern Gent. Welcome back, Gil. Congratulations to Kelly on the weight loss. But as much as he enjoyed being called your little friend, please don't call Hardwood Handicappers Kelly and JVT's little show. First time I think I've seen JVT angry. Who called it a little show?
I don't know. I don't know where that's from.
Oh, wow. Norman Vegas, Wembanyama, biggest sports story while you were away? Let's not forget the sports and political intersection of the incredible U.S. versus Canada hockey games during the four nations face-off. So much better than any all-star game. Yes, I mean you, NBA. Now the NBA can eat it with their all-star game.
Yeah, four nations was fun, man.
It was
that
great.
Was fun.
Players cared.
Yeah.
And finally, Jesse Welch, not finally, but we'll stop here. Jesse Welch, I think an important part of what makes Wes so good at golf handicapping was glanced over, and it's his research and knowledge of these courses. That's what leads him to being able to pick and choose which stat categories to hone in on. Yes, you're absolutely correct, Jesse. We probably didn't make that clear enough. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the star of the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, and also one of the stars of the Showtime docuseries Action, which followed gamblers here in Las Vegas on Showtime about 5 years ago. You can follow him on Twitter at TWishnev. He is a great college basketball bettor. It's Todd Wishnev, everybody, from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Toddy?
I was doing great due to my recent 10-day 79-38 heater in college basketball. Ooh. But then I was told to come on here at 11:25, and now it's 11:34. And I had to listen to tweets about Roberta Flack. So I'm not exactly in the best mood after I was in a great mood just 9 minutes ago.
Well, we're off to a roaring start. It's okay. We'll make it up to you. You can stay for a second segment. How about that? There, it's fair. Todd, let me ask you a question. You are a college basketball in-game bettor, and you are on a heater. How can people be a part of this? Can they be a part of this? Do you get around to adding people?
Okay. I added prior to this year about 400 people to my WhatsApp list where during the commercials, I try to get the in-game bets out real quick. Contrary to what Mike Palm said on Follow the Money, I never charged for the service. I considered charging. I decided not to. All I said to people is, if you make money, you can always tip me. And some people have been nice enough to tip. It's a WhatsApp group. And yeah, you don't always get the number that I get. Sometimes you get better. Sometimes you get worse, depending on, you know, whether you can get it at the commercial or whether they, you know, hit a three-pointer right out of the break or they miss three shots out of the break. But I mean, you know, you get all the updates all the time. You see how it works. So anyways, I forgot what the question was.
Anyway, there you go. So they can go to T Wishnev, your Twitter.
Oh, yeah. So your question was, how do people get?
Yes.
So basically, people have asked to be on it, but it's just a pain in the neck to get everybody entered into the thing. So I haven't done it this year. But if you send me a private message on a DM on Twitter at T Wishnev, the next time I start adding people again, I'll put people on. You just have to put WhatsApp on your phone.
Todd, did you hear Roberta Flack passed away? I'm just curious.
Yeah, let's chit-chat.
Okay, let's get that. By the way, Todd also won the Megapod this year. He had the best record on the Megapod, 3 bets a week. Also, some fabrications on air about how somebody faded your picks to glory, whatever. What other kind of nonsense people are making
Mike
up on Paul air
Mike told the story about some janitor who supposedly went
Shut
opposite
up.
My best bets on Megapod, but we don't do best bets on the Megapod. So I just looked. First of all, I was 31-23 on the Megapod. And if you just take the first pick that I had, I was like in all 18, I think it was 9-9, and 9 of them were totals anyways. So there's no way he could have been 10-2.
That's right.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
The whole thing
but
is ridiculous.
Anyways,
okay. Whatever. So now, while you in game bet, and again, Todd does his in game stuff, he doesn't do a whole lot of pre flopping. But he does obviously glean a lot about college basketball while doing it. By the way, you may remember the Megapod, which we did for March Madness. We do it every year with Will Hill and Todd. But 2 years ago, Will had FAU going to the Final Four. Todd had Michigan State and San Diego State in the finals.
No, not Michigan State.
Oh, no, pardon me.
UConn and San Diego State in the final game. And it almost cost me $1 million. That was a great story.
That was a whole other story. Right. You had Michigan State going far, though, didn't you?
I had Michigan State going, but they didn't make it to the Final Four. It was San Diego State against UConn, which was the final game.
Correct. Okay. So let me just ask you some broad questions. Let's start with, I just did the formula, the first update of the formula that I've had all these years. And right now at this moment, and this is subject to change, right now at this moment, the only three teams that qualify to win it all, and this is almost without exception over the last three decades plus, it is Duke, it is Arizona, excuse me, let me start again. It is Auburn, it is Duke, and it is Houston. Auburn, Duke, and Houston are the three teams that currently qualify, with the teams that are just on the outside looking in being Iowa State, Michigan State, and Arizona. Now, there are a few teams that get disqualified because one of the parameters is a guy hasn't coached in a Sweet 16 before, Florida chief among them. What is, if I said to you right now, where's the bet to win it all? If I forced you, Todd Wishnev, you must make a bet given the current odds on a team to win it all, bracket unseen. Where's your bet?
I like Florida. I like Florida. I think they're really, really talented. And, you know, I have concerns. I mean, Duke, they haven't really played that many teams, you know, since, because ACC is so weak. So I have some concerns about it. I like Houston, as always, and Houston's shooting the ball a lot better this year. They're number seven on offense this year. Typically, they can have problems shooting. But I like Houston, obviously, a lot as well. But I just feel like Florida just seems a little more loaded than everybody else. But I didn't bet any of the top teams' futures this year. No, I don't bet a lot of futures in general, but I did bet UConn 25-1 in December, the 2 years ago, and 11-1 in January last year. And just the only reason I did those is because I just felt UConn was the best team by far both of those last 2 years, in my opinion. And that's why I bet those futures. And then this year, I didn't bet any futures except like long shot ones that Stevie Fezzik told me not to bet. But I don't care what he says. And I bet them, if you want to know what those ones are. You know, he's going to say, oh, don't talk about your Dumbo VCU. Whatever, Stevie, get over it.
You have a VCU to win it all bet?
400-1.
400-1. VCU being a sleeper of sleepers, almost comatose. That's how much of a sleeper they are. What
St.
Other...
Mary's 100-1 I did also. Louisville 100-1 and Creighton 66-1. Now, I'm not saying any of those teams are going to win at all, but if you can get to the final 16 or the final 8, you can hedge and make money on them.
Any other sleepers you want to talk about that you think have, like, if they get the right sort of path, could make some noise in a tournament?
I mean, there's so many teams. I mean, you know, don't sleep on Oregon. I mean, Dana Altman is just an unbelievable NCAA tournament coach. And then yesterday or Saturday with that unbelievable comeback at Wisconsin. So I wouldn't sleep on them just because they're always good in the tournament. Some other teams down the road, like maybe Clemson is a team I like. I like their coach a lot. Texas A&M can't shoot, but they are gutty and gritty, and they can go to the offensive glass. I love those gritty type teams that can win when no one can put the ball in the basket in the NCAA tournament. You know, we get these tons of unders, especially in the early rounds, because they're playing at these unfamiliar venues, you know, so it's tough for these guys to shoot. So the defensive grittiness, you know, the defense shows up all the time. The offense doesn't always. So, you know, teams like Texas A&M can be, you know, interesting. And, of course, I would love to fade Arizona as every year.
Well, hold that thought. We'll get to this coming up. Teams like Arizona that he doesn't buy into at the top, and more sleepers. Todd Wishnev on A Numbers Game of Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, top of the hour after the show, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown. That's from noon to 2 Eastern, followed by Prop Points. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson from 2 to 3 Eastern, followed by Make It Rain with Adam Shine. That's your lineup coming up, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How about some G-Bank best bets of the day? Can we do that as
well?
Let's do that. All of the bets for every show, every host, every guest on the G-Bank ledger each and every day. I have two tennis plays yet to come, one of which is still playable, I think. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a CLV fest. I don't know if either's playable. These are all, again, VSiN.com/picks. For those subscribers, they have these on the webpage. I give them out the night before. Kimberly Burrell, I had at -104 versus Yuei Yuan. This is in Austin, Texas. Burrell is now -130. You cannot play that anymore. Magdalena Fresh, who I got at plus, or it's Freck, by the way, got it at +117 versus Alina Avanesyan. Well, this is in Merida now. She is now -104. Not as fun either.
Where's that at?
That's in Merida.
Just want to hear you say it again.
You want me to say
Merida.
It?
Merida.
It's in Merida.
Merida.
It's in Merida. So basically, either of those tennis plays are really still available. If they come back down, I would play them. But again, pays to subscribe, VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. And also the Cleveland Guardians, which I gave out earlier, under 82.5 season win total on them. Kelly.
Yeah, same sort of story here. Blazers played the money line last night, -135 when they were laying 2.5. That is out to 5.5. So as Kill says, it pays to subscribe because I put that on the website last night.
Yeah. What do you know about Merida, Mexico?
Absolutely.
And then finally, this is from Wes Reynolds, our buddy Wes Reynolds, who had Nebraska ball tonight, +1.5 points against Michigan in college hoops. Once again, the G-Bank Best Bets, the official bank of VSiN. Always check out VSiN Best Bets. Each and every show, every player, every host, every guest, every sport. Best Bets brought to you by G-Bank. Upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. I did the math. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back in the fold. Todd Wishnev. You can follow him on Twitter at TWishnev from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Squirrel Hill, if you're scoring at home. Thank you for joining us once again, Todd, and a very handsome beard you have going. Well done. Nothing?
Thank you, Billy.
All right, let's continue. let me just throw out some teams. Louisville, live in a tournament.
I love Louisville. That was one of the ones I just told you. Louisville 100-1. I love Louisville. I love the guard from Wisconsin, Wepner, Judge Wapner. He is he's outstanding, that point guard. And we all know guard play goes a long way in the NCAA tournament. I love Louisville.
Clemson.
I like the coach, and I like the grittiness. They're just gritty. I like that team.
Xavier.
I like them. They're playing better lately. Sean Miller's a good coach. I don't know if they have enough, but
okay. So. And then in your, very long shot category, again, maybe not for a bet, but maybe an upset as a giant killer in an early round, SMU.
Ooh, SMU can play some ball. Although Duke absolutely ripped them. They've been killing these other teams, though, until they lost to Wake Forest the other day. They're not bad, SMU.
You mentioned Arizona on the way out as a team that you're not buying into. Which of the sort of conventional wisdom contenders are you just like out on? You're like, that team is malarkey.
I can't stand Arizona because their coach is terrible, and it's the same old Arizona every year. And Caleb Love is going to just shoot them out of a game. And, I've never been an Arizona in the tournament fan. Kansas, give me a break. I'll tell you, one time I drove cross country. It was a February 1st evening, a Monday night. I was driving cross country, and it was Big Monday against Iowa State in the early 2000s. I think it was 2002. I got off at the exit at 7:55, and I said, hey, could I get into the Kansas game if I went over there? She's like, it's sold out. You'll never get into Fog Allen. I go over there. I park. The game had started 5 minutes before. I got a ticket for $10 and I went in there. And let me tell you, it is an unbelievable experience. The sound is so loud and the stands go straight up. Why do I tell you this story? It's because Kansas has a huge home court advantage. And this is why they always stink in the tournament. They're not as good as that home court helps them be. And this year, they're just not that good in general. But that home court is just so valuable. And it's why Kansas stinks always in the tournament, I think.
All right, let me throw out some in this category of who you don't buy into. And I have a hunch on some of these, obviously. Alabama, I'm guessing you're out on them.
I mean, Alabama's, they're fun, 47th on defense, though, they're going to trip up somewhere. If the threes aren't going in one of these NCAA tournament games, it could get real sphinctery for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah. Not enough Houston Millett. He got hurt. That's the real difference, Todd. I think you know that to be the difference.
Typically, most teams really, really need Pepperdine transfers.
I can't even remember their names anymore, Todd. Just when he brings up one of these guys, I'm like, he's talking about one of the Pepperdine kids again.
Well, Wright Cell ruptured his Achilles, and then Houston Millett decided not to redshirt anymore, and now we got hurt. So anyway.
Sure stayed at Pepperdine.
Anyway, okay, what about Tennessee? Opposite problem.
I don't. I mean, as They're number five in KenPom, so they're supposed to be like one of the teams that can win it all. And of course, they could win it all. Tennessee is a very good team, but I don't know. I don't like the coach really. Sometimes if they're not shooting well, so I don't love Tennessee. No.
I mean, does Houston worry you in that same way? They just have an offensive nightmare.
In the old days, that was Houston's issue. This year, they're a good offensive team this year. So I'm not as concerned. And they shoot the three, I believe. I'm going to tell you right now. They shoot the three-point shot number four in the country at 40.4%. This is not your grandfather's Houston team. It may not even be your surrogate mother's Houston team.
Maryland? No? Nothing?
I like Maryland. You know, I think they can pull some upsets. They're very balanced. They can play defense. They've got some real nice offensive players. I used to play pickup basketball with the coach Kevin Willard up at the University of Pittsburgh when his coach Ralph Willard, his dad, was the coach of the University of Pittsburgh Panthers, and he was on the team. And let me tell you this, he wasn't that much better than me, my friend.
Oh, here we go.
Really wasn't.
Here we go. Yes. Hubert Davis calling Todd Carolina. You heard that story? That's for another day. That's for another day. Okay, let's get back to Florida and let's wrap it up with this, because this is the team that when I asked who you would bet on right now at current odds, 8-1 on the Florida Gators. Let me go to the coach, Todd Golden, which, again, in my formula, it precludes them because he hasn't coached in a Sweet 16 before. There have been two exceptions to that, Kevin Ollie in 2014, Danny Hurley in 2023. So it has been done before. There are, you know, we were throwing around some analytics pieces on him, how he is very, he's an unconventional thinker. You know, they were beating a team by double digits at the end of the first half, and he decided to foul, happened to be an 84% free throw shooter, right? Because in his analytics, or at least what's being fed to him, the opponent had a 0.9 points advantage for that sequence, and so fouling would, you know, potentially turn that. It did, by the way, in that sequence. I guess the question is, when you are assessing teams like that, if all things are equal, do you care about stuff like that? Like, do you really feel like if that's the positive, where you're like, all things being equal, that's a great thing, which is the coach on the opposite end where you're like, I can't trust this coach in these moments?
Oh, Arizona's coach, forget about it. I really like that Golden guy.
Tommy Lloyd.
And I love that whole thing where he gave up 1.6 points, but he was going to come back the other way and get 0.9. So it would be a 0.7 instead of a 0.9. I thought that was very clever. And so I do like that coach, Todd Golden for Florida. One of the other reasons that I like Florida, you know, for the whole thing. Other teams that I just don't like the coach, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, here's another one. I love the coach. I love Michigan State's coach, obviously. Who doesn't?
Tom Izzo. Todd refuses to say their names, by the way.
I just forgot. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. My bad. Who else do I not like? I'm not thrilled with Gonzaga's coach, Mark Few.
You nailed
know.
It.
You are not a Mark Few guy. I know. Well
I don't
done,
like
Todd.
Mark Few. I'm sorry, Mr. Few.
Yeah.
But I don't love him. Okay. I mean, he's good. He's a good coach again, but in the elite. I'm not sure I don't like Bruce Pearl, and I'm getting tired of Bruce Pearl too.
You don't like Bruce Pearl as a
coach. I'll tell you another reason I don't like him afterwards, but I just don't really like him.
Okay. I look forward to that on VSiN +++. Oh, that's a great reason. Todd, thank you. We'll be following your in-game plays. I appreciate it, my friend. We'll see you in town in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Now get back to the Roberta Fleck programming.
Money Moves is next with Stormy and Matt. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.